Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Pei Vov Omid Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us look at the side in the margin where we have a mivne, a structural note. We feature a trapezoid or volcano shape that highlights the expression ksiv or dichtiv. The point of this Gemara, you'll see it's also, there's a numbering scheme that accompanies the Gemara on the to the immediate side of the Gemara text. Yishuvim resolutions shel shnei psukim shenirim chulkim ze al ze. Psukim that seem to be contrast or disagreement with one another. We use that in a very general sense, and it'll become clearer as we go into the Gemara. The Gemara's bottom line of Pei Vov Amid Beis. My shno legabi Avraham dichtiv. What is different between the reference made to Avram and his guests versus Lot and the reference made to his guests as follows. After Avram offered hospitality to the three guests that turned out to be angels, they responded rather immediately, Kain tase kasher dibarta. Do as you say. In other words, if you're offering us hospitality, go ahead and do it and we'll accept it. Omai shno legabi Lot dichtiv. Whereas when it comes to Lot, what is different about him that it says, and we continue at the top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, Vayiftzar bom ma'oid. Lot had to Yiftzar. And it's an expression referring to pressure them, to convince them to stay. We saw in our previous year, and of course if you see the Psukim in the Chumash, that Malachim came to Lot in stone, and in order for Lot also offered them hospitality, but he had to pressure them, so to speak, to convince them to stay. Whereas in the case of Avram, there was a rather immediate acceptance of the hospitality. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar concludes from this difference, Mikan, from here we see, Shemisarvin lekoton ve'en misarvin legodol. Misarvin is an expression that conveys the idea of hesitation, bordering on refusal, that one expresses hesitation when it comes to someone of a lesser standing, a cotton, a lesser individual, and you don't hesitate, you don't express hesitation when it comes to a great man, a godol. So, and hence, Lot, relative to Avram, was a minor figure, and therefore the angels didn't readily accept Lot's invitation, whereas when it came to Avram, they couldn't refuse. Ksiv, on the one hand, the pasuk says, "Ve'ekcha pas lechem," I will take some bread in order to serve you. So offered Avram uksiv, and then it says, "Ve'el habokar rots Avram," and he ran to the cattle to prepare for them meat. So when speaking, he offered them bread. Bread relative to meat is a rather simple food item. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Mikan, Shetzadikim Oimrim Ma'at V'Oisim Harbe. From here we see that it's the way of the righteous to say little and yet do a lot. Rishoyim, on the other hand, oimrim harbe vafilu ma'at einam oisin. When it comes to the wicked, they talk big, and even a little they do not do. Menolan, from where do we see that? May Ephron, from the biblical figure Ephron, who was the owner and seller of the Machpelah cave. May Korah Ksiv, initially he said to Avram, okay, if you insist on buying it, it'll cost you Eretz Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. Ulubasov, when it came to the actual pay time, he said how much he owes. Ephron says to Avram, how much you have to pay? Ksiv Vayishma Avram El Ephron, Vayishkol Avram Lefron es hakesef asher diber beozne bereches arba meyos shekel kesef oiver lasocher. The payment of the 400 shekel kesef that happened in actuality was a far greater amount than the type of 400 pieces of silver that Ephron spoke of initially. De lo shokal mine elo kantari. In actuality, Ephron took from Avraham kantari, which is a much larger kind of, we'll say, shekel coin. The ika duchta dekori le letikla kantira. There are places that refer to this kind of coin by the term kantira. Rashi on the top says kantari mishkal gadol. It's a very weighty coin, shikorin, and he gives you a French word, which is mea mona, which is 100 mona. For our purposes, it's sufficient to recognize that initially Ephron said one thing, how much it'll cost, and he gave him a low type price. And when it came to actual pay up, it was vastly larger. That's what we mean when we say the wicked, they talk a good game, but when it comes to coming through, they don't come through at all. Quite the opposite. The pasuk that we now refer to in Bereishis, Perek Yudches, pasuk Vav, we have included it on the side of the Gemara, and it reads, before we continue in the Gemara, the pasuk reads, Vayemayir Avram Oyelo El Sora, Vayomar Mahari Shalosh Seim Kemach Soles Lushi Vasi Ugois. The pasuk describes Avram hurrying to the tent in which his wife Sora was located, and he said, quickly prepare 3 sa'ah of flour, fine flour, and knead it into cakes. Ksiv, the pasuk says Kemach. Kemach is a reference to a word that she said, uksiv soiles. That's a reference to a word that he said. Both kemach and soles are forms of flour, just that soles is a richer form, a more desirable, more expensive type of flour. So we have these two words. Kemach is what she offered to provide the guests, and solas is what Avram wanted to provide them with in the preparation of the baked goods. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok Mikan, from here we see Shoisha Tzora Eino Ba'orchem Yoisim Eno'ish. A woman has a more miserly attitude toward what to provide the guests, more so than the man. Ksiv lushi vasi ugois. Uksiv, one pasuk says to knead and make cakes. Uksiv vayikach chema v'cholov uven bokar. And on the request level, it was requested, Avram requested that Sarah prepare baked goods, which involves kneading the dough. And in reality, it says that he took the chema, the butter, and the cholov, and the milk, and the ben boker, and the meat. and yet he didn't bring to them, he didn't serve them the baked goods, the bread. Omar Ephraim Mikshaw, that's the name of the individual, Ephraim Mikshaw, Talmidus Rabbi Meir, Mishmeid Rabbi Meir. So Ephraim Mikshaw, a student of Rabbi Meir, said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Avram Avinu, Oichel Chulin V'tara Hoya. Avram Avinu had a practice that in which his chulin, that means his common food, he treated with a high level of purity. He ate and treated his chulin, his common food. When we speak of common food, that's a term we use in contrast with various tithes like truma and sacrificial meat, rather common food. He treated betara in a state of ritual purity. And what effect does that have over here? V'sora imenu, our matriarch Sora, oisayom pirsanita. That day, she regained a menstrual flow. And as a result of her nidus, her new period that began, she could not prepare the bread in a state of undefilement. Her contact with the flour and the water that was that's the component ingredients for baked goods, she would thereby cause defilement. So Avram Avinu, he had a practice in his house that even the common food was treated as if it were ritually holy food, and he wouldn't serve chulin that had become defiled. And if Sora became a nida, so she certainly would have defiled that. Before continuing in the Gemara, first take note of the long marking that we have. We've referred to it as Sora Ba'ohel, the description of Sora being in her tent. This will have more meaning when we, of course, get into the Gemara itself. We also have a topic heading that accompanies this section of the Nosei in the margin where we've written Dvarim Hanilmodim Mishe'elas Hamalochim Al Oidois Sora. The angels that visited Avram ask him a question or questions regarding Sora, and from the questions that they ask, we learn points of information. Sora was, we emphasize here, was in her tent. Now the Gemara text. Vayomru Elov. The angels said to Avram, Aye Sora Ishtecha, where is your wife, Sora? Vayomer Hineboil. And he answered, she is in her tent. Lehodia Shesora Imenu Tznua Hoysa. The point here is to show that Sora was a woman of tznius, a woman of modesty. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Ravi Tamar Rav Yitzchak. Another version, name wise, is Rav Yitzchak. Yoidim hoyu malachi hashores shesora imenu boil hoysa. The service angels certainly knew that Sora was in her tent. Ela mai ba'ohel, what is there? What is taught to us by the Torah, informing us of information that the malachim already knew? So why did they ask a question that was already clear to them? Kedei lechabavo al baila. To endear her to her husband, to inform him, to emphasize to him that you have a special wife. She is more modest than others. She's not readily visible, and as such, she is the kind of woman that one would have to ask after in order to know her whereabouts. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Omar, a second approach. Kedei l'shager lo kos shel bracha. Their point was to have Avram send to her the cup of wine over which the bracha was recited. Generally speaking, this is a reference to the Birchas Hamazon, the grace after meals, was said over a cup of wine. When you have a group of people that are saying the Birchas Hamazon together, so it is said over a cup of wine, and that cup of wine, upon the completion of the Birchas Hamazon, not only is drunk by the one who led the Birchas Hamazon, but it is a proper practice to have it sent to his wife. Tani Mishom Rabbi Yossi, a Tanaic source in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Loma Nakud Al Aleph Yud Vav She Be Elov. The word Elov in the Torah, according to tradition, has dots, not vowelization. There's no vowelization in the Torah, but there are traditional dots that appear over the letters Aleph, Yud, and Vav in that word. In the Pasuk, we saw just a few lines up, Vayomru Elov, Ayei Sara Ishtecha. The significance of those dots, Limda Torah Derech Eretz, Sheyishal Odom Ba'achsanya Shelo. The proper etiquette is that a visitor should ask concerning the wife of the host. The Gemara asks, "V'omar Shmuel ein shoylim b'shalom isha klal." Shmuel presents what seems to be an opposite proper etiquette, that one is not to ask of the welfare of a woman. The Gemara answers, "Al yadei by law shaymi." When it comes to through the husband, that is different. The Rashi says, Al Yadei Baila, Lo Shishal Lo Lishalom, Elo Labaila Yishal Mashlom Hagiveris. The Shmuel's teaching that says, Ein Shom Bishlom Isha Klal, is a reference to someone trying to, what we say in English, to send my regards to your wife. That is not to be done. However, to ask the husband, how is your wife? That is proper etiquette. This particular topic of proper etiquette, one will find additional discussion on the matter in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Amud Beis. You will find a different approach to the approach we just suggested that we took from Rashi in the Tosfos that you see over here. But there is more to be said on the topic for those who are interested. Then by all means, look into the Gemara in Kiddushin Ayin Amud Beis and the Tosfos over there as well. The Pasuk says, Achrei Bloisi Hayisali Edna. Before going further, we should take a look at the Pasuk in its entirety that we've included in the side, in the margin of our Gemara, Bereishis Perek Yudches Pasuk Yud Beis, Vatitzchak Sora Bekirbo Leimor Achri Bloisi Hoiso Li Edna Vadoni Zokain. This is Sora's reaction to her being to the information or to the news that she would bear a child within the year. Or a year later, the information that was conveyed by the angels that came to visit Avram, Sarah, upon hearing that, is described as having laughed and saying, after she has become aged, blosi, literally worn out, a wrinkled old woman, how would she then become refreshed, renewed? And she added, and my husband is an old man. The Gemara. Omar Rav Chista Achar she nisbala habosar v'rovu hakamotim, after her flesh became aged and there was increase of wrinkles, nisadein habosar, her flesh became renewed, v'nispashtu hakamotim v'chazar yofi l'mekomo, and the wrinkles became smoothed out and her original beauty returned. We have, in the spirit of the markings above with the volcano, two seemingly contrasting psukim. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says, V'adoni zokein. That is what Sora herself said. We read that in the pasuk just before, the pasuk Yud Beis. Uksiv, there's another pasuk Yud Gimel. V'ani zokanti. These are the words of the Almighty in reporting Sora's reaction to Avram. We have the pasuk included on the side. Let's look at it together. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Avraham," and Hashem said to Avram, "Lomo ze tzochakot Sora?" Why did Sora laugh? Lemor, and in her laughter, saying, "Haaf umnom eleid vani zokanti." Is it possible for me to still bear a child when I, Sora, have become aged? The seeming discrepancy, the Gemara says, the Almighty did not report to Avram, in fact, what she actually said. In her amazement, we saw in Pasuk Yud Beis, she emphasized her husband being old and seemingly incapable of fathering children. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, when the Almighty reports her reaction, she is reported as saying, how could she possibly enter pregnancy as an old, I have become aged. Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. And now a resolution to this issue. Godol Shalom. Great is the phenomenon of peace and tranquility within a household. Shafilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shino Bo. The Almighty Himself changed, what in more crass terms you would say lied, but He changed what was actually said. Shinemar Vatitzchak Sora Bekirba Vadoni Zokain. That was what we saw in Pasuk Yud Beis. She there said, my husband is old, and Uksiv Vayom Hashem Avram Vani Zokanti. And when Hashem reported to Avram her reaction, He reported it in a way that would not irritate Avram by otherwise saying, she, your wife, said about you that you're an old man. But rather, she made reference to the elderliness on herself. So with that, the Almighty succeeded in preserving what might have become an irritable situation. Vatomer, mi mileel Avram, hiniko bonim Sora. In this pasuk, there's reference to Sora after bearing her son Yitzchak, nursing children in the plural, bonim. That's the word we've dashed, underlined. Kama bonim heniko sar. How many children did she nurse? Amar Rabbi Levi, oisayoyim shigomal Avram es Yitzchak benoi. The day that Avram weaned away Yitzchak from nursing, asa seuda gedola. He made a feast. Hoyu kol umoisayilim urananim. All the nations were Maranim is an expression that would reflect casting aspersions, doubts, jeering. V'omerisim zokein uzakena sheviu asufi minashuk. Look at the old man and woman that gathered in an abandoned child from the public, from the market. V'omerim, and they claim benenu, who this is our son, that this is the son that we bore. For lo, and not only that, El Shoyis and Mishte Godol Lahami Divrem. And they not only that, but they make a big feast in order to substantiate their claim. Ma also Avram Avinu. So what did Avram do in reaction? Holach v'zimen kol gedolei hador v'sora imenu zimno es nishoseim. Avram invited all the leading figures of that generation, and Sora invited their wives. V'holachas v'achas avia b'no imo. And each one of the women brought their children with them, their babies with them. Uminikasa lo hevia, and their nursemaids they were not to bring. They did not bring, and apparently in accordance with her request. Vinasenes besora imenu, and a miracle befell Sora. Vniftichu todeha kishne mayonos v'nikas kulan, and her breasts opened like two wells, and she was able to nurse all of those children. Vadayan, but still, hoyu maraninim vomrim, they were still jeering and saying, im Sora habas tishim shana tele, if Sora, the woman at 90, was able to give birth, Avram ben Meir shana yolid, Avram, a 100-year-old man, could he possibly father a child? Miyad, immediately nefach klaster ponim shel Yitzchok v'nidme l'Avram. The face of Yitzchok, the facial characteristics of Yitzchok immediately resembled those of Avram. So no one could make any mistake about the physical, biological relationship between Yitzchok and his father Avram. Poschu kulam v'omru. And all those that were previously circumspect and ridiculing opened and claimed and said, Avram hoylid es Yitzchok. This, of course, is a pasuk right over there in the Torah, that they declared Avram, he bore Yitzchok. We have a new marking, a new series marking, a crown shape, and on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading, we indicate Tofaos Gufaniim, physical phenomena, Shehischilu im Avram, Yankiv, and Elisha. The different phenomena will be featured in the Gemara. If you want to scan ahead, you'll notice we have a dashed underlining, which in Avram's case, it says, until Avram lo hoya zikna, until his time, there wasn't any physical manifestation of old age. And by Yankiv it says, until Yankiv lo have chusha, there was no illness. People did not ail when their time to depart came. They simply died without any, we'll say, warning ahead of time through illness. And until Elisha, there was no illness from which people recovered. Now in the Gemara, Ad Avram lo hoya zikna. Until Avram, there was no physical manifestation of old age. Man dehavaboy lemishtoi b'hadi Avram, mishtoi b'hadi Yitzchok. He wanted to converse, to speak with Avram. He ended up speaking with Yitzchok. We pointed out before they looked very much alike, and without the external aging. Factor or appearance, the two were confused. Behadi Yitzchok, he wanted to converse with Yitzchok. Mishtoi Behadi Avram would end up speaking with Avram. Os Avram came along, Bo Rachmi, and prayed, Vahavi Zikna, and behold, there was Zikna, agedness. Shinemar, Vavram Zokain, Bo Bayomim. And Avram was old in his days. Ad Yankiv lo have chusha, until Yankiv Avinu, there wasn't infirmity. Asa Yankiv bo rachmi v'have chusha, and then he came and prayed for that phenomenon. And we explained before that without that, a person's death would approach, and they wouldn't be aware of it. And as Rashi adds, people wouldn't have an opportunity, wouldn't be motivated or informed of the need for issuing a will. This way, with a person experiencing infirmity, they knew that their end was nearing, and they could straighten out all family financial matters related to a distribution of an estate. And of course, that makes the passage of the individual into the next world a more reasonable experience for the survivors, insofar as the property is distributed according to his will. And the pasuk says, "Shenemar vayomer li Yosef, hine avicha chole," and it was told to Yosef that his father, namely Yankiv, has become ill. Ad also Elisha, until Elisha came along, lo have a decholish veispach. There wasn't a situation where a person after becoming ill would recover. Also Elisha barachame veispach. Elisha came and prayed and got better. Shenemar v'Elisha chola es cholio asher yomus bo. The pasuk describes Elisha becoming ill and an illness from which he died. That leaves room to infer. Michlal, we can infer from that the chola choli achriti, that he had experienced other ailments from which he did not die, but rather recovered. Tonu Rabbanan. Shlosha chaloim chola Elisha. There were three occasions where Elisha became ill, and the illness is associated with some aspect of his practice or behavior. Echot shedachvoy legechazi b'shtei yodav. One ailment befell Elisha as a result of his overly harsh punishment. Or rejection of Gehazi. Gehazi was his secretary, his right-hand man, his servant, and because of problematic behavior on the part of Gehazi, Elisha became upset, and he cast him away. But he did so with two hands. We're not getting into all of the details. The Gemara in Maseches Sota elaborates on that, and of course, when you look into the Tanakh, it's Sefer Melachim, you can see that greater detail. But as a punishment for the way he dealt with Gehazi, he suffered an ailment, but he got better from that. V'echad shegiro dubin betinoikes. The second was again an instance of overreaction to an incident involving the citizenry of Yericho that had suffered from a drought, lack of water, and Elisha intervened, and there were people whose income was curtailed as a result of Elisha's intervention. Those are the Tinokos that are referred to in this Tanaic source, and they had belittled, insulted Elisha, and he reacted by inciting bears. There was a miraculous situation, but he punished them by inciting bears that killed these insulting folks. We're taught here that there was a level of overreaction on his part, and he took ill as a result. The echad shemes, when there was a third ailment from which he eventually died. Shnemar, Elisha chol es cholio asher yomus bo, and Elisha became ill from the through that illness. He ended up dying. And now we continue with a quote from the Mishnah. Elo ad shelo yaschilu b'mlochot sefer molahem. The father, that namely Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, told his son to straighten out matters with the workers where the son had originally promised them that they would be provided with a significant type meal. The father was not willing to provide that and instead told his son, go before they start working, tell them that the father will provide pas v'kitnis. Pas is bread, kitnis is a reference to legumes. Omar le Rav Achobre de Rav Yosef le Rav Chista. How are we to understand the Mishnah? Pas kitnis tnan, oi pas v'kitnis tnan. When the father said he would provide them with, we'll say, a minimum type meal or food allotment, was the father saying pas kitnis? And here we're going to translate the Gemara. The Tosfos commentary gets involved with we'll say a fine point, greater detail than the mere translation. But for our purposes, we'll deal with this issue on a translation level. So the question is, was the father saying that he would provide bread made from legume flour? Or was the father saying, I will provide you a meal made of bread, regular bread from standard grain flour, v'kitnis, and a portion of legumes? Omar lei, so Rav Chisda said, he answered, Elokim. Elokim is an expression of, we'll say, of an oath, of emphasis. Tzricha vov, ki murdia ledelavrus. In order to appreciate what Rav Yochanan ben Nasi said, you need to have the vov, namely pas vit, the vov vikitnis, and that vov is as important as the murdia delavrus. What is murdia delavrus? This is the reference to a piece of wood or a pole that the a seaman, a boat captain would use in distancing a boat from running aground. And just like that is very necessary, so to the vov in this expression of pas vikitness is very necessary in order to understand what the father was agreeing to provide those workers. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer Eino Tzorich Hakol Keminig Hamedina. The word Hakol is a word that comes to include, others say, more than that which is stated. Hakol Asuye Mai. What is the Hakol coming to include? Lasuye Ha Disnan. It's coming to include the following situation. Haseichus Apel V'Omerlo. A man hires workers and says, Ke'echad U'Kishnayim Mibnei Ho'ir. I'm going to give you like one or two of the townspeople. That's a literal translation. So if he says that, Ke'echad U'Kishnayim Mibnei Ho'ir, what practically speaking does that mean? Noisin Lo Ke'pochos She'Beschirus. Div Reb Yeshua. According to Reb Yeshua, it means that the boss can give them the least amount of that which is commonly given to workers. And Chomim say that if a person says Ke'echud Vishnayim, there it means you take the two extremes, add them together and divide them in half, which we call you find the average. The Rashi himself says in a rather abbreviated fashion, but I just want to point out that the explanation we gave you can find in the Hagoy Sagro, the Vilna Goyen's commentary on the side in the margin of the Gemara. But Rashi Misham Nehem lo bepochos v'lo biyoser, not a least amount nor a maximum amount, ela keminig hamadino beinonis, which I think is more or less in line with the Gra, but you can say maybe there's some fine difference. Rashi is telling you that, and this is what the word hakol comes to include, that a person who says, you end up giving the average type meal allocation to your workers. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we must make a correction. We're going to continue. We're not concluding at this point. The Mishnah. V'elu oichlin min ha-Torah. The following have a right to be provided or to eat food on the job, eat from that which they are working, from the Torah. The Torah allows, provides for their eating. Mishnah explains, ha'oise b'mechuber l'karka b'sh'as gemar melocha. One who is hired to work on produce that is still attached to the ground at the last point of their being attached, meaning while they are detaching the produce from their point of growth, so that worker is entitled to eat from that which he is picking or that which he is harvesting. Another type of worker that the Torah provides for, ubetolush minakarka, one who is working with produce that is detached from the ground, ad shelo nigmaro melachtoi, he's allowed to eat from it until the point at which the produce becomes obligated in being tithed. There's a concept known as gemar melacha lemaisers. Maisers is a generic term for tithing. And in crop development, growth, and harvest, there's a point at which it is considered now obligated in being tithed. We, in the Mishnah, are referring to the point in the, let's say, vegetable, fruit, plant harvesting before it reaches that final stage, at which point it becomes obligated at being tithed, the worker is entitled to eat from that. V'elu she'ein oichlim. The following are those that the Torah does not provide for their eating. Ha'oise b'mechuba l'karka. We continue at the top of Pei Zayin Mud Beis. B'shah she'ein gemar melacha. One who is working with plants that are currently attached to the ground, but not involved with their final stage, i.e., not involved with their picking. An example of that would be someone who is, let us say, weeding out or thinning out crops. Rashi uses that example, Menachish b'vitzolim. He's thinning out onions in their growth, allowing more room for them to expand. That's a thinning out process. It's the plants are currently attached, and he's not harvesting them. What else is not, who else is not entitled to eat? Ubetolush minakarka me'achar shenigmar melachto. Someone who's working with the harvest after it has reached the gemar melacha for maestras. Number three, ubedover she'ein gidulo min haaretz. One who is working with non-plant goods. For example, someone who was hired to milk cows or produce cheese. He is not entitled from the Torah to consume the milk or the cheese. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that a worker is entitled to eat from that which is attached to the ground? We said attached at the point it is being detached. Before going further, just a word or two concerning structure. We have, as you skim down the page, you'll notice diamonds on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading. Makoros, these are sources. Depoil Eichel b'mechubel karka, b'shas gemar melachto. that workers are entitled from the Torah to eat from that which is attached and now being detached from the ground, as you find by Ktsira, by harvest, or Betsira. That's the another word, harvest, that is used for harvest of grapes. In Hebrew, different crops have different words that all reflect their harvest. The triangle marking that you see are Nisyonis Limtso Moker Lehanal B'chol Mili. We're going to be citing a scriptural source, but the scriptural source that's cited in the following, the diamond, is limited to a particular type plant. How do we know to expand worker entitlement beyond that particular plant that's featured in that pasuk? So the triangles highlight that attempt on the part of the Gemara to go beyond the can be more specific. The pasuk that accompanies the first diamond refers to a worker eating from his harvest of grapes, grape harvest. So how do you know that a worker is entitled to eat while, let us say, he's harvesting other items beyond grapes? And those are highlighted, those attempts are highlighted with the use of the triangle. Following the triangles, each triangle will be followed, you'll see, by a double underline marking. Those represent Pirchos Tachas Gisha number 1, where the Gemara refutes or rejects the suggestion that was introduced by the respective triangles. Throughout this Omid of Gemara, if you allow your eye to scan down the page, you'll notice there are several bracketed sections. We have a little comment, Heora, Mumlatz Lumoid es ha Gemara Pam Achas Bedilug Alak Toim Shibisograim Ad Number 2, that when learning the Gemara from diamond number 1 down till diamond number 2, which you'll see a little more than halfway down the page, it's recommended to skip the bracketed sections on the initial learn through. Kedei Liroi Silahovin es Hamalach HaKlali, in order to appreciate the general flow of the Gemara. And then to go back over the Gemara with the bracketed sections. So let us now turn to the Gemara text, and as we go along, we'll see which approach to adopt. But I can tell you from experience that there is value in following this suggestion to learn the Gemara first with the skippings. So now the Gemara. We asked, from where do we know scripturally that workers are entitled to eat from that which is currently attached to the ground in its final stage, where it's being now harvested? The pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Devarim, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Hei. As usual, it's advisable to see the pasuk in its entirety. We've included it on the side, where it says, Dvarim Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Hei, Ki Savoi Bekerem Re'echa, Ve'chalta Anovim Kenafshecha, Savecha, Ve'el Kelicha Lo Sitein. Each word of this pasuk will be darshaned later on. The gist of the pasuk is that when you enter your friend's vineyard, and of course you're entering as a hired worker, you can eat the grapes, but do not put them into your vessels. You can eat on the job, but don't take home any, let's say, any souvenirs, so to speak. From the pasuk itself, you can see immediately that you're dealing with a situation where grapes are being picked in the context of harvesting, and the pasuk is saying, don't put them in your vessels. Grapes are going to harvest. You can eat a little bit as you're going along. You can eat your fill, but The rest of them you put in the owner's receptacles. It's his harvest. You are entitled to eat while harvesting, but not any more than that. Not to take home in your own vessel from that which you're harvesting of his vineyard. So now we go to the Gemara. Dichtiv ki savo bekerem reecha v'chalta. The pasuk is talking about a worker, and that enters someone's vineyard. Ashkel kerem. So we see here an entitlement to eat from grapes while harvesting them. Kol mili menolan. What about all other products? Answer, gamrinon mi keren. We learn from keren. We use keren as a precedent. Ma keren miyucha dover shegivilo kaka ubishaz gemar malocha poyo lechobo. Just like grapes have the characteristic they grow from the ground, and it's at a time that they are at their last stage of attachment, the worker is entitled to eat during their detachment stage process. Af kol dover, so to all other things, shegidulei karka, that grow from the ground, b'shas gemar malocha poyel lechobo, at the final stage of their attachment, the worker is entitled to eat from them. The Gemara rejects this. Ma lekerem, you can't learn from kerem, cannot be a precedent. Shekein chayov ba'olulois, there's a special tithe that is left for the poor from grape clusters that are called ululus. Without getting into detail, we'll simply say that they're undeveloped, they call grape cluster mutations that are underdeveloped. They may be ripe, but as far as a grape cluster is concerned, they're underdeveloped, and those are left for the poor. And that's something unique to a kerem. So being that a vineyard, a kerem, has that uniqueness, I can't use that as a precedent to learn entitlement from other crops. The Gemara says, okay, gamrinon mikoma. We'll learn from koma, from the entitlement of workers to eat from grains. In the brackets, the Gemara seeks out a source for that point, but right after the brackets, you see an immediate rejection. How can you learn from koma? Ma la koma, shekein chayeves bechala. Koma are grains that are processed into flour, from which you knead dough, and from the dough you tithe a special priestly tithe, a tithe given to kohanim. That is called chala, the dough tithe. So again, you have a situation where koma has a unique feature, and as a result, our reaction is you can't use that as a precedent for other crops where you don't have that. Again, we have a bracketed section. If we skip it, the Gemara says, kerem yochiach. All right, I can't learn from koma because it has chala, so I'll learn from vineyard. That workers are entitled to eat from the crops. But again, malik kerem, I can't learn from kerem, shekein chayabolos. We mentioned that before. Kerem cannot be the precedent because it has that olilos tithe. Well, all right, komo tochiach. So let's go back to having grains prove permission of workers to eat. We said that that's not good because koma has chala, v'chozer adin. Then, at this point, the logic starts to revolve. Lo ro'izeh ke'ro'izeh. One is not like the other. Each one has a unique feature, but it's not like the other. Ha'tzad ha'shova shebohen, but the common denominator between kerem and koma, shekein dovar shegidulei karka, u'b'shas gemar malocha po'el o'chel boi, they grow from the ground, grains and grapes, and at the time of their final stage of attachment, the worker is entitled to eat from them. Avkol davar shegidulei karka b'shas gemar malocha poyel lechobo. So to anything else that grows from the ground and it's at its final stage of attachment, a worker is entitled to eat. And the Gemara once again rejects that. Ma lahatzad hashava shebohen. How can you use their common denominator to extend to all other products? Shekein yesh bahem tzad mizbeach. Whether it be wine or flour, those are ingredients or elements that are offered in a sacrificial capacity. You have wine offered for the we call it the drink offerings or the wine libations, and we refer to them as nesachim. And soles, which is from flour, from the koma, is used for menachas, for meal offerings. How do I know that the Torah would allow workers to eat from other products? Now, what we did skip a number of lines above, and let us go back. What we tried to do is simply to enable you to see the flow, the basic flow. Namely, can I learn from Kerem? No. Can I learn from Koma? No. Can I learn from a common denominator between them? No. Now, let's go over some of the details that we skipped. So we go back to to make things easy, just look for the second triangle on the page, at which point we said, after saying, I can't learn from Kerem because it has ululos, let me learn from Koma, from grains. And in the brackets, Koma gufa minolon, how do I know that when it comes to grain harvest that workers are entitled to eat from that while they're harvesting them? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, this is Pasuk Chavav, it happens to be the Pasuk that follows the Pasuk above that we quoted. It says, Ki savoy bekomas re'echa, when you enter your friend's grain field, and you snap off grains by hand. That's a literal translation, and we learn from that a worker who is harvesting grains is entitled to eat from it. The Rashi adds a little more information on the upper part of the narrow lines. Rashi says, "Kisava bekomas recha," and in the pasuk it says, "V'chermesh lo sonif, alma b'shas chermesh koi." Chermesh is a sickle, so that the pasuk is describing a time at which the harvest is taking place. As far as what the worker is entitled to eat from is not that which he cuts with the sickle, but that which he plucks by hand. The Gemara, we go back to our Gemara text, and we said, all right, you just suggested I should learn from Koma, and there's a pasuk entitling workers to eat from standing grains that he is harvesting, but ma'ala koma shekein chayeves b'chala, I can't learn from grains. Grains ultimately are made into flour from which the challah dough tithe is removed, and making it a special situation, and it cannot serve as a precedent for all crops for worker eating entitlement. Now we go through the bracketed section. There's a little starred note where we simply say that it's recommended simply to look at our previous note concerning the brackets. In this bracketed section, we ask, umimai dahai koma, how do you know that the word koma in this pasuk, where it said, ki sava b'komas re'echa, koma de mischaivis b'chalohi, that it's that type of koma. Koma literally means standing, that it's a type of crop, a standing crop, that eventually becomes obligated in the dough tithe. Dilma kol koma koma rachmona. Maybe all standing crops, everything that grows in a standing fashion. Maybe everything that stands is what the Torah is referring to, and then I'd be able to answer our original question, which we saw 4 or 5 lines from the top, where we dashed underline kol mili minolon. I would answer it from right over here. The Gemara says no. Koma in this pasuk is not an inclusive expression referring to all things that stand. It's a reference to grains. And how do I know that? Asya koma koma. A gezerah shava leads me to that conclusion. Ksivacha, here regarding workers, it says kisava b'komas recha. Uksiv hasam, and in another pasuk in Dvaram Perek Tes Zayin pasuk Tes, it says mehachel chermesh b'koma. Now this pasuk we've included on the side in our margin Dvaram Tes Zayin pasuk Tes. Shiva shavuos tisolach meochel chermesh bakoma tochel lispor shiva shavuos. Maybe some of you have guessed that this is referring to the 7-week period between Pesach and Shavuos. On the we refer to as the Sfiras HaOmer period, a 7-week period that begins with, and the pasuk says meochel chermesh bakoma. From when the chermesh, the sickle, starts harvesting the koma. And that is a reference to the omer meal or grain or meal offering that starts on Tes Zayin Nisan. So this pasuk indicates a grain harvest. It's a harvest of the korban oimer is referenced here that comes from barley, which is one of the 5 grains that, when made into dough, has to have the challah tithe separated from it and given to the kohen. So just like there, ma hasam koma demechayva b'challah, just like in pasuk tes of perek tes zayin. It's a reference to a koma that has a challah tithe associated with it. Af hocha, so to the pasuk dealing with workers, ki sova b'komas recha, nami koma demechayva b'challah. So, at this point in the Gemara, when you just look at the general flow of the Gemara, we were trying to learn from koma to mechayev other all things in tithing. And yet, ikolamifrach malukoma shikain chayevis b'chala. Now, this pircha, this challenge we saw already before these brackets started. And as is often the case, the Gemara will repeat the main problem before going on, after, let's say, having gotten sidetracked with the question introduced in the brackets. The Gemara feels it necessary to repeat the original question. How can I learn from koma when it, being that we've established it's a grain-related koma, standing grains, how can I learn from that to worker allotment for all other products? The Gemara says, kerem yochiach. So then let me learn from kerem, where a worker eats from the grapes that he is harvesting. Malik kerem shekein chayav olulos, koma tochiach. V'chozer adin lo roizeh keroizeh, hatzad hashava shebohen. The common denominator between kerem and koma, shekein dover shegidulei karka b'shas gemar malocha poyol oichel boi. Af kol dover shegidulei karka b'shas gemar malocha poyol oichel boi. But still, ma lahatzad hashava shebohen. Still, there's a problem with trying to extrapolate from from those two items and base ourselves on their common denominator, because there's another common denominator that they have. Shekein yesh bo tzad mizbeach. They both have an altar element to them. The altar, the mizbeach element that we described earlier, which you do not find by other products. So I can't use the tzad hashava, the common denominator between kerem and koma, to conclude all other products. Notice we have a bracketed section, and this question is a serious problem, which leads us to a second approach. After the bracketed section, it says Elo Omar Shmuel Omar Kra V'Chermesh, and we'll get to that later. You might have noticed just by looking at the bracketed section that in fact there's a, I call this a double bracketed sections. We have circular type brackets and angular brackets, internal angular brackets as well. In order to navigate, we will be skipping the internal brackets initially and then going over all the information. The Gemara, having said that Tzad Mizbeach is what's unique to Koma and Kerem, to grains and wine, grapes, can I possibly learn other products from that? So the Gemara says, within the brackets, V'osa Nami Zayis. I would include, as far as worker entitlement, olive harvest. Olives are used for making olive oil. Olive oil is also something offered on the Mizbeach. It figures in many of the meal offerings. So, olive oil, which is from the olives, from Zayis, could be included as well. You notice the angular brackets? Skip them for a moment. Mikol mokom kashya. But still, even if you want to include olives as well, we're still left with the problem of they have tzad mizbeach. How do I know to include worker entitlement to all kinds of produce? Within the angular brackets, we have a double-starred note in the margin, which reads, Besoch Sograyim, within these brackets, these angular brackets, HaGemora Toya Al-Kach, Shezayis Nilmad Mitzad Mizbeach, Velo Min HaMikra. We just suggested the idea of including Zayis, being that it has the altar aspect to it. Why do you attempt to, we'll say, include Zayis from that standpoint when you look at the pasuk itself, we would be able to include Zayis. Now let's see this in the text, in the angular brackets. The Zayis b'ma'atzad osi is Zayis to be derived through the common denominator that we establish through Kerem and Koma. Hu gufei, olives themselves, olive trees themselves, Kerem ikri, are referred to by the word Kerem. We saw before the pasuk dealing with workers, it said, and we saw it above, Kisavo bekerem reecha. You notice that on the third, fourth line from the top of the page. Kisavo bekerem reecha. What does the word kerem mean? Up till now, we were assuming it refers to grapes. But in fact, olives are also included in the term kerem. Dichtiv, the pasuk says. Now, this pasuk is from Sefer Shoftim from the book of Judges, where Shimshon was single-handedly warring against the Philistines, the Plishtim, and it says there, Vayaver migodish viad koma viad kerem zayas. He ignited their harvest, their produce, and he burnt everything, including the kerem zayas. So why try to include worker entitlement to olives based on Tzad Mizbeach, which was the Tzad HaShoveh, the common denominator between grains and grapes? The pasuk that entitles workers to eat from Kerem would be a direct inclusion of olives. Omar Rav Papa. Papa responds and says, not so. Olives, Kerem Zayas Ikri, they have They're referred to by the compound term kerem zayis. However, kerem stama lo ikri. When you see the word kerem in isolation, you would not have included olives. And the pasuk above, Dvarim Chav Gimel, pasuk Chav Hey, had kerem in isolation. It said ki tzavo bekerem reacha. Didn't say kerem zayis. So the pasuk as it is, scripturally speaking, I would not have known olives. How do I know olives to be included in worker entitlement? I would know it through tzad hashoveh, the tzad mizbeach element. Mikol mokom kashya, but nevertheless, we're still left with the difficulty. How do I know non-mizbeach produce that workers are entitled to eat from them? Elo Omar Shmuel, Omar Kraw, v'chermesh. We have noted this earlier. We saw the pasuk that spoke of kisavo b'komas reacha, and it said in that pasuk v'chermesh lo sonif. That word v'chermesh l'rabois kol bale chermesh, to include all things that are harvested. The chermesh we mentioned before is a sickle. It's a tool used for harvesting. So it's a rather, we'll say, a general word. Again, you notice a bracketed section, and if you skip it initially, you see the Gemara picks up. It says Tenach Debar Chermesh. That word would be effective, including all kinds of produce that are harvested with a chermesh, with a sickle. The lav bar chermesh minolan. What about other produce that's harvested in a different fashion? Like when it comes to olives, we say mosek bezesim, and when it comes to dates, we say go there b'tomorrow. We don't use the term chermesh in the context of their harvest. So how do I know workers would be entitled to eat from olives that are being harvested or dates that are being harvested? The word chermesh is not relevant or applicable to them. Now, we have a couple lines that we skipped. Let's go back. Shmuel suggested from the pasuk v'chermesh. Within the brackets that we are about to learn, the Gemara raises a question on Shmuel's choice of chermesh as a source, but it answers the question. Following the brackets, we already saw that even so, even though that particular question is answered, we still don't find chermesh as being a suitable source to include things that are not chermesh related. Now, the brackets. Question, I chermesh mi boya lei, the word chermesh is used for something else. Bishas chermesh echol, shelo bishas chermesh lo sechol. Worker entitlement to eat is only when you are using the sickle, namely only when you are harvesting. If you're not engaged in that kind of work, you as a worker are not entitled to eat. The Gemara says that point, hahu, that very point is not learned from chermesh, but rather miveel kelicha lo sitein nafka. This is developed a little later in the Gemara. We pointed this out actually quite a bit earlier, where the pasuk describing worker entitlement, it says that he's entitled to eat, but not to put into his vessels. So we are then talking about a case where he is putting in to the owner's vessels that which he harvests. So you see that you're dealing with the harvest period, and it's only then, when you're dealing with mechuber lekarka, that the worker is entitled to eat. So the word chermesh is then free for Shmuel's purposes, to l'rabbis kol ba'alei chermesh. The Gemara then asks, Tenach debar chermesh. It's reasonable to include all kinds of crops that are harvested with a chermesh, like kitnis, like legumes, and other things. The lav bar chermesh minolan, but other crops like olives, like dates, that are not chermesh related. You don't use a chermesh, a sickle, in their harvest. How do I know worker entitlement to eat from them while being picked or harvested? Elom Rav Yitzchak, diamond number 3. Omar Kro, Koma. La Rabois Kol Bale Koma. To include all crops that stand. The Gemara asks, but V'ho Amris Koma Koma De Mechaiva B'chala. But did we not say earlier that the word koma was when we actually suggested above to learn from koma, we said that you can't do that because koma is part of a gezera shava, which limited us to grains. Namely, that item that when processed into dough, you would tithe the challah tithe. So, how can Rabbi Yitzchak say that koma is available to be so inclusive when we saw above that koma is quite limited? It's part of a gzera shava, limiting you to the grains. The Gemara says, Hani mili, that thinking that only that which is that is, you tithe the challah tithe from it is that which is a part of worker entitlement. In other words, that limited thinking is mekami denesi chermesh. That's before we became aware of chermesh, and we have a little arrow in the space to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara. You can align this with the arrow above, where we saw chermesh used to include everything that's a baal chermesh, which it certainly includes things like legumes, kitnis, which is not chayev in challah. So from the point that we introduced chermesh, I realized that we expanded worker entitlement beyond the bounds of challah. Hashta the osi chermesh. And now that we've used chermesh like Shmuel introduced in diamond number 2, Israbi le kol debar chermesh, v'af al gav de lo mechayev b'chala. I know that we're going to include in worker entitlement products that you harvest with the chermesh, even though they're not chala bound. Koma lomali, then what am I going to do with the word koma? Le rabbis kol bale koma. Koma now is available. It's no longer limited to things that are chayv and challah. That we've established already through chermesh. So what does koma do? It entitles me to include all standing produce that workers are entitled to eat them at the point of their harvest. V'hashto denaf galon mechermesh umikoma. Now that through the use of chermesh plus koma, I now recognize that a worker is entitled to eat from all gidule karka at the point of gemar malachton, at the point of their detachment. Kisovo bekerem reacha lomali. What am I to derive from the opening pasuk of this section of Gemara, all the way back up on the third, fourth line from the top of the page? That pasuk spoke about a worker eating from a grape harvest, but you see that we go way beyond that. So what am I to learn from that pasuk? Amarava lehilchosav. I learn specific legal points that relate to a worker eating from, let's say, a detailed analysis, a detailed breakdown of that pasuk. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading in which we indicate Braisa sheyesh bo drasha al pasuk kisava bekem reacha shemimenu loimdin prote halachos shel achilas poyalim. This Braisa includes the breakdown of that pasuk of kisava bekem reacha to teach from which we will derive detailed halachas regarding worker eating entitlement. Now the Gemara. Kedisanya. Ki savoy. Nemar kan biyov. Nemar ala halon. Lo savoy olav hashemesh. This second pasuk, lo savoy olav hashemesh, is found in Dvarim Perek Chof Dalet Pasuk Tes Vov. On the side of the Gemara, in our margin, we've included two psukim. Let's read them together. Dvarim Chof Dalet Pasuk Yud Dalet says, Lo sashik socher oni ve'evyon me'achecha o migercha asher ba'artzecha b'shorecha. The Torah warns against withholding wages from workers, from all kinds of poor people and converts that are in your midst. B'yomo titein schoro, on the day that he finishes his work, you give him his wages. V'lo sovel of Hashemesh ki oni hu ve'lov hu noisei es nafshoi. V'lo yikro olecho el Hashem v'hoye b'chochit. Act accordingly, pay him on time, and this way avoid bearing a sin. He is dependent on you. Pasuk makes reference to a poor man that's totally dependent on the wages that he gets, and otherwise he will call out to God and bring visit upon you sin. That pasuk, Lo Sovo Lov Hashemesh, is clearly a pasuk referring to a worker. Ma, we go back to our Gemara text. Ma Lahalon, just like in the pasuk where it says Lo Sovo, that pasuk is clearly Bifoyal, is dealing with a worker. Hakosu Medaber, the pasuk is speaking of a worker. Afkan Bifoyal Hakosu Medaber. The pasuk of Ki Sovo Bekerem Reecha is dealing with a worker, not a visitor who's invited into someone's field, into someone's vineyard, but it's dealing specifically with a worker. And that we learn from the Gezeira Shava, Savoy, Savoy. Bekerem Reacha, and it said in the Pasuk, El Kel Yichalo Sitein. When you are working in your friend's vineyard, you are entitled to eat, but you are not entitled to put into your own vessels to take home produce from the vineyard. Now that prohibition of not putting into your own vessels, that is bekerem reecha, fellow Jew. Velo bekerem kusi. A kusi is, the word kusi is a word that you have to evaluate. What does it exactly mean? We'll take one, we'll call one safe approach or definite approach. Allowing it to refer to an idol worshiper. Does it include more than that? We'll leave that aside for right now. We'll simply say that the pasuk says that as a worker, if you're working in a Jewish field, you are entitled to pop grapes into your mouth. You can eat the grapes as you're working along. You can't take home any. Can't take home any souvenirs. However, if you're a worker in an idol worshiper's field, then you are entitled to do that. You can put into your own vessels and take home a supply of grapes. You'll notice there's a bracketed section. On the side, we have a starred note. Besocha sugraim elu kayemes he'ora ala gemora. Shashel HaGemara, that is. Within the brackets, there's a Gemara interruption of the Tanaic flow of this Brisa. Achrei HaSugraim, a Brisa Mamshicha im Dinim Shel Achilas Poem. After the brackets, the Gemara continues with laws that are relevant to worker consumption while working. So, that having been said, namely, that after the brackets, we're going to continue breaking down Pasuk of Dvarim Chof Gimel Pasuk Chof Hei. We had pointed out just a minute or two earlier that from, let's say, point two, Bekerem Reecha, El Kel Yichalo Sitein, that you are restricted when you're dealing with a vineyard of a fellow Jew, restricted from putting into your own vessels and taking home souvenirs. However, if you're working in an idol worshipper's vineyard, there you have a special, you have a special Torah provision for putting into your vessels. Ha nicha leman de omar, within the brackets, we're going to be exposed to two opinions regarding theft from an idol worshipper. Is one allowed to steal? Now, that might sound harsh or certainly politically incorrect, but nevertheless, there is a discussion that when you're dealing with an idol worshipper, there is two opinions. Are you allowed, in general, to steal from them? Well, ha nicha, this point that you need a, let's say, a special Torah provision, special Torah permission to put into your own vessel when you're working in an idol worshipper's vineyard, that would reflect that in general a person is not entitled to take from an idol worshipper anything he wants. Honicha lemadomar gezel kusi aser, that in general stealing from a kusi, from an idol worshipper, is prohibited. Therefore, I need a special provision to allow a worker, a Jewish worker, working within the vineyard of an idol worshipper, to put into his own vessels, into his own Jewish vessels, and take home what we referred to before, souvenirs. Take home produce for yourself. So that, in general, you cannot steal from idol worshippers. But if you're a worker working in his vineyard, you can take home produce. If you're working in a Jewish-owned vineyard, you would not be allowed to take home any produce. Only eat from that which you're working on at the site at the of the vineyard. Ela lamandi omar gezel kusi muter. According to that school of thought, that says that theft in general from idol worshippers is not a sin. Mutter literally means it's allowed. Hashto gezela mutter poil mi baya. Mind you, outright theft is acceptable. Do I need to tell you, does the Torah have to tell me about worker allowance of putting into his vessels and taking home from the produce he's working on? That's obvious. Even without the Gzeiras HaKosev, I would have known that. So that opinion that says Gezel Kusi Muter, what does he derive from the inference that one could draw from Kerem Reacha, the fellow Jews' vineyard? So the Gemara says, Moikim law, that Manda Omar will establish the Bekerem Reacha, the lo shel hegdish, inferring from Kerem Reacha that when you're working in a fellow Jew's vineyard, you're entitled to eat from the produce, but not when you're working in a sanctified vineyard. If someone had, let us say, dedicated his property, his vineyard, to the base Hamikdash, you would not, as a worker who is working in that area, be entitled to eat from the produce you're working on. So from Reacha, fellow Jew, yes. Sanctified vineyard, no. We continue with the drushes from the Pasuk. It said in Dvarim Chof Gimel Pasuk Chof Hei, V'ochalta V'lo Motzeitz. The Torah does not allow you to simply suck on the grapes, sucking out their juice and throwing the rest away. Anovim, you're entitled to eat grapes, v'lo anovim v'dovar achir, but not to take the grapes and and dip them in salt. I don't know if most of our listeners would have done this anyway, but there was a practice. It was considered tasty at some time. Grapes dipped in salt what happens then, it creates or it expands one's appetite, and he'll want to eat more. And therefore, in this case, as a worker working on the grapes, you can eat the grapes straight, but not grapes with salt. Kinafshecha, kinefesh shel baal habayis kach nafshoy shel poel. Ma nafshecha oichel upoter. Just like the owner could eat the grapes at this point in time, at harvest point, and not be obligated in tithing because they haven't reached their tithe obligation point of development yet. When are grapes obligated in being tithed, assuming that the grapes are going to be processed into wine? Only after the wine liquid flows from the press into the pit in which the wine accumulates. Prior to that, it's called lo nigmara melachta lemaaser. Our pasuk is dealing with the worker harvesting grapes from the vines. So the drosha of kinafshecha is that just like you, the owner, eat from the grapes at this point, and you're exempt potter from maaser, from tithing, af nafshe shepoel, so to the worker oichel upoter, he too is exempt. Now, you might say that that's like terribly obvious. Why would you think otherwise? So Rashi reveals the depth of this drosha. And let's learn it, Rashi, together. Av poel eichel upoter. Velo amrinon. Now, you'll note, if you look carefully at our marked Gemaras, we have a singular quotation marks that includes all of the rest of this Rashi, Dibur HaMasvil. All of the following we are not to say. What might one have thought had we not been taught this in the Braisa? The following. Hayu de ba'agre ochil. Since the worker is eating the grapes as part of his pay, al kerche shabal habayis, and he is entitled to do that even against the will of the owner. The owner can't stop him. The Torah entitles him to eat from it. Havilei kemekach. It becomes like a transaction. In other words, worker entitlement to eat is part of the deal. It's part of his wages, and the owner cannot object to that. And therefore, it could have been classified as a mekach. A mekach is a transaction. Umekach kevas lemaisra, avdovah shelo nigmar melachto, kevon dezavne achshave. In halachic terms, a transaction establishes the tithe obligation, even if it's an item that in general hasn't reached its final stage of production that would ordinarily bind it to tithing. The mere fact that you transacted it creates the tithe obligation. So all of that, I might have thought that since the worker is eating this as part of his work wage agreement, arrangement and obligation, the worker would have to tithe from it. It's as if he purchased it. And we know that a mekach is mechayev maisris. Comes along this drusha of kinafshecha and informs us, just like the owner is not obligated at this point in tithing from the grapes, so too the worker is not obligated in tithing from the grapes. Sovecha. You are, as a worker, entitled to eat to satisfaction, v'lo achila gasa, not overeating. V'el keli cholo sitein, b'shah sh'ata noisein l'kelev shebal abayis ata ochel. When you are putting the grapes into the owner's vessels, the carts, the cart, or the crates, the boxes that will hold the harvest, that will contain the harvest, it's at that point that you as the worker, are eating. Ubishah shiata noisin the kelev shabala bias, when you're not putting into his vessels, iatochel. And that we've already spoken about earlier, that if you're working on produce that is attached to the ground, but it's not during harvest time, you're, as a worker, not entitled to eat from that. And that's what we learn from El Kel Yecholo Sitein. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.